you're looking at is what God looks like when he dares to offend white folk. And that was Emmett Till. Good evening. Yeah. I can't do it.
Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for such beautiful singing. Amen. Beloved, we have so much going on within the next several weeks, and as Harry Truman said, the buck stops here.
You were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
You are listening to the very best of community radio. Presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We ask God that you will crown our mind and our heart with understanding. Thank you for your precious anointing. Bless us now, God. Bless us, your people, as they hear your word. And God, we pray that you would give them receptive hearts that they might receive what the Spirit has to say on today. We thank you for these blessings through your word now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. As you remain standing. And I'm gonna break from custom, from tradition. I know that y'all have heard me say in a number of times that God is not so much interested in whether or not you stand for the reading of the word. And I know that there are schools of thought that would disagree with me. But one thing I know is that God is more interested in you living the word than standing when it's read. Amen. That's the challenge, but we stand in reverence to his word on today. In the book of Acts chapter 27. Verses 20 through 25 into your hearing on today. And as some of you are still looking, let me just say that we had a blessed time at our National Baptist Convention in Memphis, Tennessee on this past week. We are blessed with a great new leader, Dr. Jerry Young, who is from the state of Mississippi, doing great work not only in his state, but now he's doing great work on the national level. And I just want to applaud him and the team that he has assembled. This convention was really, really good, and we thank God for that. And I know some of our Facebookers, you saw me at the Gladys Knight concert, and I just want to thank God that, amen, even though it seems like we're in convention all day, amen, even up into the night, there was a two-hour window, and I got word watching the news that Gladys was going to be in town. And we found us a ticket and went over to the Orpheum Theater at 8 o'clock to catch Gladys, and left right out with Gladys, and went to late night service at 10 o'clock and had church until 2 o'clock. So it was all a blessing. Amen. And we thank God for the privilege. Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 25, you will find these words. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.'" Amen. And for just a moment this morning, I want you to think with me as you take your seats in terms of a subject, trusting God in the midst of a storm. Trusting God in the midst of a storm. Thank you, ushers, for your faithful service. Amen. Let's thank God for our ushers today. Amen. Paul is on a ship that ends up traveling into the heart of a terrible and ferocious storm. The text that we have before us is one of the most gripping stories in the Bible. It is very interesting because almost an entire chapter is about one storm and one ship. We discover that what transpires and what happens here in Acts chapter 27 has great spiritual application, because if you have had the privilege of walking the shores of this thing we call life, you have to admit that life is a journey. Life is a voyage. As a matter of fact, somebody can say life can be a trip. Do I have a witness today? You know how it is. One moment everything can be calm, the wind barely blowing, the sun is shining, and you're going about life having a good time. And tell your neighbor, all of a sudden, I said all of a sudden, you can find yourself in a storm. I believe that Acts chapter 27 is also an illustration of each of our lives. Because when you study the background of this text, you find out that Paul is actually a prisoner on a prison ship. The Bible lets us know that Paul is a prisoner being taken to Rome, and Paul and these individuals who are on the ship are prisoners. I have found out through 49 years of living that if you live, and if you live long enough, you will experience some storms. Did you hear what I said? I said that if you live and live long enough, you will have to deal with one storm or another in your life. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that in this life, storms are inevitable. Every one of us in this room will have to admit to one of three scenarios as it relates to the storms of life. Either you're coming out of a storm, you're in a storm right now, or just keep on waking up, because a storm is headed in your direction. My brothers and sisters, storms are inevitable. I have found out in my own life and through the study of God's word that there are four basic types of storms. The first type of storm that I want to talk about is what I call a normal storm. Say normal storm. Somebody here today is going through a storm, and the only way that it can be characterized is as a normal storm. This is the type of storm that simply comes because nature has called it to be so. Amen. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It's not that you've sinned. It's not that you've made God angry. It's not that you've gotten off track. Some storms are just natural and normal. sort of like aging. Amen. Amen. Some things you will experience in your body, not because you necessarily did anything wrong. Amen. It's just because you're getting on up in age. Some aches and some pains come with aging. Do I have a witness today? And I know for you, it's frustrating. It in a real sense, could be characterized as a storm, and it very well might be a storm. But I want you to understand that some storms are what we call normal storms. But then the second type of storm is the type of storm that we engineer by our own foolishness. Someone knows that the storm you're dealing with is not a normal storm. Come on, nudge your neighbor and say, yeah, it ain't a normal storm. You realize that the storm that you're in right now is one that you engineered. It is one that you orchestrated because of your own foolishness. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, disobedience causes you to go through a storm. That's the kind of storm that we talked about last Sunday when we talked about Jonah on the ship. And because Jonah was disobedient to God, the ship ended up in a storm. This was not a normal storm. This was a storm that came out of Jonah's disobedience to God. I told you last week that whenever you decide to disobey God or mistreat his anointed, I told you that you need to be aware of the fact that your disobedience and your disrespect of God and his servants, amen, bears consequences. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the apostles about what they had given. And the Bible says they died because they lied to God's representative. You have to understand that whatever you say or do to God's anointed in a real sense is directed at God. Do I have a witness today? You Bible readers will remember what God told Samuel when he was disillusioned by the way people were treating him. God said to him, they're not disobeying and disrespecting you. They are disobeying and disrespecting me. He wasn't the only one who had to suffer. I told you last week about Jonah's storm. Remember that he ended up in this storm because of his disobedience, but because he was on the ship, everybody else on the ship ended up in the storm. So he wasn't the only one who had to suffer because of his disobedience. And my brothers and sisters, you need to always remember that there are other people on the ship with you, and you have to ask yourself the question, am I willing to bring calamity into the lives of the people I love because I choose to be stubborn and foolish? There are other people on the ship with you. What ship, Pastor? Well, it may be the fellowship. It may be a relationship. Amen. But whatever the ship is, always be cognizant of the fact that when you walk into disobedience, when you intentionally choose to do the opposite of what God is telling you to do, sometimes other folk will have to suffer because of your foolishness. Do I have a witness today? But then the third type of storm that someone here today is perhaps dealing with is not a normal storm. It's not a storm that has been engineered by your own foolishness. But there is someone here today who's going through the third type of storm. And this is the type of storm, watch this, that God intentionally, providentially sends us into for growth and development. Somebody in this room, you didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, you've done everything right. But sometimes God will allow us to go through storms for growth and development. That's the kind of storm you find in the book of Mark, chapter 4. The Bible says that the disciples found themselves going through a storm, not because they disobeyed God, but because they obeyed God. You Bible readers will remember that Jesus told them, let's pass over to the other side. And the Bible says that they got on board the ship that Jesus told them to get on board. And yet even though they were following the instructions of Jesus, they found themselves in a storm. And I'm preaching to somebody this morning who is going through this type of storm. And my brother, my sister, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you to put a smile on your face. Because the storm you're going through has nothing to do with the devil. Y'all know we're quick, amen, to give the devil credit for stuff that's happening. And a whole lot of times it is the devil, amen. But every now and then we're in a storm, not a normal storm, not a storm engineered by our own foolishness. But every now and then we find ourselves in a storm that has been ordained by God. It's God allowing you to go through this storm so that when you come out, I didn't say if you come out, I said when you come out. Because is there anybody here who knows that if God brings you to a storm, he's also going to hang in there with you to make sure you come out of your storm? I ought to have at least 5 or 10 folk up in here who've been through this type of storm. And on the other side of it, you realize that you couldn't do nothing but give God praise. Because when you came out on the other side of it, you had to testify like Marvin Sapp, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better. That is the third type of storm. So again, the third type of storm is the kind of storm that God sends you through to grow you up, to develop you. Can I tell you something? I really don't like any storms. But I don't mind going through a storm that God sends me into to develop me. A couple of weeks ago, my alma mater, the great Southern University, went up to Ruston, Louisiana, to play Louisiana Tech. I hear some folk laughing. Watch it, watch it. My friend, who is a graduate of Louisiana Tech, oh, she was having a good time through the whole game. As the score went from 7-0 to 14-0 to 21-0, and by the time it got up to 62, I thought she was gonna spaz out. She was just having so much fun. But I had to look at her and tell her, I said, look, we did not come here with any illusions or delusions about winning this game. We knew that we were playing a team, amen, that was above our division, that was, amen, much better than our team. That's not why we're here, because we were sure enough there. Amen. And we were there because we understood that our team was there not necessarily to win, but we knew that by playing this much better team, amen, the experience gained would be far much better than the agony of defeat. I'm trying to tell somebody that when God sends you through a storm to make you better, amen, that's not crying time. That's not complaining time. That's the time you need to give him praise, because if he brought you to it, he's sure enough going to bring you through it. But then there is the fourth type of storm. This is a storm that we're in, watch this, because of other people. Sometimes it's the people that you hang out with. Your road dog. Your buddy. Amen. Sometimes it's someone that you fall in love with that causes you to end up in a storm. And I know y'all gonna get quiet right about in here. Amen. But sometimes it's the company you keep that causes you to end up in a storm that was not even designed for you, but because you're in close proximity to someone who is disobedient to God, someone who is anti-pastor, someone who is anti-church, someone who is against the will and way of God, and you think it's cute because you laugh and joke with them, not realizing that the company you keep can cause you to be in a storm. I told you last week that you've got to be careful about who you let on your ship. Because sometimes we experience storms not because we engineered them, not because we orchestrated them by our own disobedience, but because of the foolish company we keep. Whew, y'all getting real quiet. But if you don't mind, look down your row and say, be careful who you let on your ship. I told you last Sunday that when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to cry against that evil and wicked city, the Bible says that Jonah went down to Tarshish. He boarded a ship going in the opposite direction, and Jonah found himself in a storm. Eventually, I told you that because he was on the ship started rocking and reeling, and the storms were about to tear it up, and they drew straws and all of that. And finally, Jonah said, it's me. I'm the reason y'all are in this storm. Amen. I'm the reason. Amen. Throw me overboard. And we told you that he ended up in the belly of a big fish, begging God to give him another chance. And I told y'all, I don't know if I finished it, but I meant to tell you that while Jonah was in the belly of that big fish, I said that he couldn't help but notice all around him that there was dead and decaying stuff in there. I don't know exactly what that fish ate, but I imagine there was some dead shrimp in there. There was some dead plankton in there and all that other kind of stuff. And yet Jonah was alive. I told you that in the belly of that fish, there are enzymes designed to digest whatever is in the fish's belly. Jonah is there in the belly of that fish, and those enzymes, the pepsin, the renin, the lipase, are acting on everything else in the fish's belly, but it ain't affecting Jonah. Oh, that's a shouting point right there. I come by to tell somebody that, yes, amen, you may be in a dark, a death filled situation, but if God is on your side, the stuff that the devil designed to work on you, to destroy you, it will destroy everything around you, but you'll be able to come out with the praise in your mouth, with clapping in your hands, with joy in your heart. Is there anybody here who knows that God can keep you in the midst of a storm? Amen. Some storms you are drugged into by other people. And my brothers and sisters, that brings us back to our text, because that is exactly the kind of storm that Paul finds himself in. Paul was in the storm because he was drugged into it by other people. You Bible readers will note that Paul was a seasoned traveler. Paul knew about storms, and he knew about the situations that come about while traveling. And that's why you find in Acts chapter 27, somewhere around the 9th and the 10th verses, that it says they began to vote. They began to take a poll. The apostle Paul told them, do not sail. He said, I perceive that if we sail, it's not going to end up good. But the Bible says that they did not heed the words of Paul. And as I was reading this text, I had to consider why they would not listen to Paul. Why wouldn't they listen to Paul? The first thing that came to my mind is that maybe they could not hear what Paul was saying, because when they looked at Paul, they noticed that Paul was in chains just like them. They looked at him and said, well, man, you're a prisoner just like us. And is there anybody in here who has ever had to deal with people who could not appreciate your anointing because they looked at your condition? I have come by to tell somebody today that the anointing that God places on your life has nothing to do with the condition you might be in today. Oh, I know I ought to have a witness here today. If you don't believe me, go back and check the record on David, little David. Check and see, amen, how he seemed to have been disadvantaged. But is there anybody here who knows that when God places an anointing on your life, you cannot measure the quality of the anointing by the type of car the person drives, or by the type of house the person is living in, by the type of clothes they wear? There's something special about the anointing. Paul said, I don't think we need to sail. He said, I perceive that if we leave from here, if we sail from Crete, we're going to end up in a dangerous predicament. But the Bible says they didn't take heed to the words of Paul, but rather they listened to the owner of the ship. Now, you need to understand that this ship owner was in the business of transporting prisoners from one place to the next. He's getting paid, amen, based upon how many prisoners he transports from one place to the next. So he wasn't really trying to hear nothing about no storm. He wasn't trying to hear nothing about what the prophet was saying, what God's man was saying. He was thinking about how I'm going to make this dollar, how I'm going to, amen, get this buck in my pocket. Do I have a witness today? But Paul told him, men, I perceive that if we set sail, we're going to be in a tough situation. You Bible readers know what happened. They set sail, amen. And the Bible says that when they got out there, tell your neighbor, when they got out there. See, sometimes, amen, we don't really hear God until we get out there. Anybody in here ever been out there? You know, mama told you, don't go out there. Daddy told you, leave them folks alone. Amen. But you went out there on your own. But, amen, it was when you got out there. The Bible says that when they got out there in the middle of the sea, all of a sudden, they end up in a storm. The Bible says there was no sun. There were no stars. Watch this. For many days. And the Bible says the storm came. This it says that it was no small tempest. In other words, the storm that came up on them was not some little mediocre storm. They found themselves in the storm of a lifetime. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but they found themselves in the middle of a storm. And the Bible says that this storm was so ferocious that the storm had a name. Whew. See, I can say Katrina and everybody in here know who I'm talking about. This storm was so bad that it had a name. The name of the storm was Euroclydon or Euroclydon, however you choose to pronounce it. The Bible says that the storm had a name. They have not seen the stars. They have not seen the sun for many days. And the Bible says that now the waves are beating against the ship. The Bible says that the ship is rocking and reeling. The conditions got so bad, y'all, that the only hope they had of surviving was throwing stuff overboard. They threw their Louis Vuitton luggage overboard. They threw their Coach bags overboard. They had to, not only that, and that's bad, I know, for you ladies, but what troubled me is that they had to throw the food overboard. The storm is bad enough. But y'all done threw the Mickey D's overboard. We really have a problem now. But is there anybody here who knows that when you go against what God tells you to do, that when you walk out there in your own will and do your own thing, that trouble will certainly come? Is there one person who's willing to be transparent enough to say, Pastor, I know you're right. I know the Bible is right because I walked out there on my own, did my own thing, and found myself in a storm. So here they are in this storm because they wouldn't hear God's man. They were more interested in what the majority had to say. They took a vote. Amen. And the vote was, let's go, let's go, let's go. But I've come by to tell somebody today that, amen, if you want to kind of get an idea of when you're making a bad decision, one inkling that you might be making a bad decision is when everybody's doing it. Tell your neighbor the majority is not always right. Do I have a witness today? The majority is not always right. You Bible readers will remember that, amen, over in the Bible when they got ready to go into the new land, they sent out 12 spies and they brought back reports. 10 of the 12 said, we can't do it, amen. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can, amen. We can go, amen. Be careful about following the crowd. You Bible readers will remember how Jesus was stood out there before, amen, the people, and Pilate raised the question, do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? And you know what the crowd said. The crowd said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. You got to be careful about following the crowd. And so they ended up in this dark and desolate situation. And the Bible says that Paul did like a good Baptist pastor.
when the storm got rough, when they didn't have anything to eat, Paul stood up like a good Baptist pastor and said, I tried to tell y'all, don't go out there. I tried to tell you. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying that you've got to be willing to submit to spiritual leadership.